Can I really be free? Can I really be free? And I'm just going to give you the answer to that right here, right now. It's a resounding yes. That God wants us to live in the fullness of the freedom that the cross provides. Does anybody believe that? That the cross that Jesus hung on, he hung there so you and I could find the fullness of our salvation. And that's not just escaping hell and entering heaven. It's about walking in the fullness of the freedom that he provides. Galatians chapter 1 says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us, come on, say it, free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again in the yoke of slavery. You see, the reality is that Christ died for us to save us. But this passage of Scripture warns us, be careful that you don't find yourself going back to being a slave. Not that you lose your salvation, it's that you don't find yourself being slaved to an old way of living, to an old way of habits, to some things that will hold you back. Or can I say it this way? Strongholds that the Bible uses. Something that simply has a hold of you that is so strong that you're like, man, how could I ever be free? Listen to me. Today, you and I can walk in the fullness of our freedom. We can. The wholeness of our freedom. You know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor's kid. I've been a pastor all my life. All I know is church. And I've realized this one key thought for you note takers, if you want to write it down. You can be saved and yet enslaved. I've seen it. I've pastored people saved, going to heaven, but they're enslaved. And they really wonder if they're meant to be free, free from their addictions, free from their substances, free from their issues, free from their past, free from their pain, just to walk in freedom. And sometimes people feel like, well, this is just a part of my life. It's kind of like in the movie The Shawshank when Red looked at Andy and said, you know, at first they were prisoners. At first we hated these walls. Before you know it, we got used to these walls. Then we realized we couldn't live without these walls. And before you know it, that's how some Christians are. It's as if, I guess this is my lot in life and I've just gotten used to it. This is me. No, it's not you. There is a freedom that is available through the truth of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8:32. Come on, let's keep on moving along. John 8:32 says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, everyone is looking for freedom, but the reality is this, it is truth that is the key that'll unlock you into your freedom. Yes. You need to know truth. Truth. And today I want to unpack for you five truths. And I want to look at the children of Israel. This is important. The children of Israel that are walking through their freedom. How many know that they were slaves in Egypt? Everybody know that? They were slaves in Egypt. You saw the movie The Ten Commandments. You know what I'm talking about. If you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. The reality is this, the children of Israel were slaves. They were children of God, yet slaves. Saved, yet enslaved. There's something about being walking in the fullness of your freedom. And then the Bible tells us, this is so important, that Pharaoh had a hold on them. And I want us to look at Pharaoh today in this light. Ready? More than just a person, he's a picture of something that has a hold of you. And Moses would come to Pharaoh and ask and make this request. Ready? Let my people, come on, finish it. Go. And he kept on saying, no. And I want to look at their journey from bondage to freedom. And I want to say to myself, what are some truths that I could learn from their freedom that I can apply to my life? And for me to walk in the fullness of my freedom. All right, here they are. I want you to write them down. They're important. If you can, get your notes out. Take them down. Write it down. There's something powerful about a pen and a pencil or a nice note app. Here it is. Number one, know this truth. Ready? Know that you're a threat. Come on. Know that you are a threat to the enemy. You need to know your freedom is a threat. Pastor, what are you talking about? I want you to see how Pharaoh viewed the children of Israel. Here it is in Exodus chapter 1. The Bible tells us in Exodus 1, the children of Israel, come on, verse 9, are more and, come on, say the next word, everybody, are what? Than we are. Do you know who's talking? It's Pharaoh. Do you know who's declaring that over them? The power that is trying to hold them back. The enemy, a picture of darkness. He says, I know that they're more and I know that they're mightier. How many know that the God in you, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world? And but some way, somehow, we see ourselves, friends, hear me, we see ourselves as victims rather than more than conquerors. And we got to say to ourselves, why does the enemy see me greater than I see me? Why does he feel like I'm a threat, but I keep seeing me as a victim? Am I making sense? And he says, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they fight us, come on, and what? Overpower us. In other words, the enemy of your soul knows the threat that you can be. Do you realize the threat that you can be to the kingdom of darkness? Because we're not called to build the kingdom of darkness, Pharaoh's kingdom. We're called to reach people and build lives. Come on, somebody. We're called to make a difference and establish the kingdom of God right here, throughout the region, at all of our campuses, all of our sites, throughout this region, the southeast, the world. A mighty man and woman free. A mighty man and woman, a husband and a wife truly in love, walking in the fullness of their freedom, building a next generation, making a difference, reaching our schools, touching our communities, reaching our business world. Come on, establishing mighty churches. I'm going to say this. We are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So switch it in your mind. Know this truth. You're a threat. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what's been done to me. You don't know what's led me to this place of substance and this issue. I understand. I'm not saying that you weren't victimized, but you got to stop seeing yourself as a victim and start seeing yourself as a threat and be able to say, okay, I'm not minimized. I'm not a heartless pastor. I've heard a lot of people's pains, please. But I want you to realize there needs to be a switch in your heart and in your mind that says, wait a minute, I'm no longer going to be a victim of that thing. I'm going to be a threat. I'm going to purpose in my heart to be more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. You got to make that switch. I mean, I can be up here today and I can say to you, man, I belong in a corner in the fetal position because of some pains that I've suffered and some things that I've walked through and encountered by family. But you know what? I refuse to let that keep me from building God's kingdom and building a healthy family and reaching my community. We are a threat. Know that. Amen, somebody? Know that today. My freedom is a threat to the dark one. And I think this is why all hell is thrown at us. This is why you need to get your kids at RevCon. Because there's a call on their life and the enemy knows it, and that's why he tries to afflict them. And when we gather them together, something powerful takes place. Something powerful. I'm telling you something. Our young people are going to hear the call of God on their life this week. Young people are going to be set free this week. Young people are going to be transformed. Young people are going to go from victims to know that they're a threat. Come on, somebody. This is so vital. It's vital. This is more than just some get-together that's fun. It is a spiritual, sacred moment that God begins to enlighten them. They're a threat to the kingdom of darkness, and they know who they are, and they become all that God's called them to be. Number two, you need to know what afflicts your bloodline. How many of you have been to the doctor? Okay. You've been to the doctor, and you filled out a 39-page questionnaire of your medical history. Anybody? Huh? 39. Hey, did your great-great-great-grandmother on your father's side have diabetes? Just in case, you know, did so-and-so on this side, you know, way back there, did they have glaucoma? You begin to, why are they asking that? I'm going to tell you why. Because here, this is important. They know what you're susceptible to. They know what you're vulnerable to. Now, let me ask you something. Do you not think that if everyone has a medical history, that everyone has a spiritual history? And just ask yourself that. You see, this is why the Bible tells us this is important. They knew they were a threat. So Pharaoh said in Exodus 1:11, as it comes up on the screen, therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens. You see, I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to make you fearful. Come on. But I'm here to make you mindful. Because, listen to me, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And the reality is this, that there's always something that's been assigned to us. Something. And what you might be susceptible to, I'm not. Satiable greed, debilitating fears, uncontrollable lust, some kind of something that you might battle and I might not. And then the things that I battle, you might not. I've got a big problem because I spend way too much time at the gym. That's a joke. Lighten up. I'm lightening the moment because I'm feeling a little something here. Listen to me. I don't go to gyms. There's too many germs at gyms. I don't like to do ups. I like to do downs. Push-ups, sit-ups, they bother me. I don't defy gravity. Hear me. We all have something to be mindful for, amen? It didn't bother me, but I wondered about it. Why did I catch COVID and my wife didn't? I couldn't taste anything, couldn't smell anything, but she's sitting there just enjoying life. Well, for 2 weeks, I couldn't taste a thing. I thought, how is it that I was susceptible to it? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? How important it is for you to know what afflicts your bloodline? To know what you could be susceptible to? The Achilles of your generation? To be able to understand these things? And you say, well, Pastor, how do I know what it is? Because here it is. All you have to do is look back at your family and ask this key question. Here it is. Please write this down. Have conversation about this. What has gotten the best of you and takes the best from you? Just stop for a second and ask that question. What has gotten the best of you and taken the best from you? You look back and say, man, it was alcoholism. It just made my dad just lose everything and it just caused him to just spiral down. And I realized that you know, it led to divorce and now we're having this fallout. And you stop and you realize alcoholism has been a thread in your bloodline. Or maybe like my bloodline, just in full transparency, just an enormous amount of unforgiveness, that somebody got offended by something that was done or something that wasn't done, and it led to my parents and my dad not talking to his brothers a lifetime, and just unforgiveness and can't let it go, and we don't know my dad's side of the family, and I don't share that to embarrass anybody or shame anybody, but in full transparency, I look back and say, why don't I know my uncles? Why don't I know my cousins on that side? Why? Because unforgiveness has gotten the best of us and taken the best from us. And if you don't answer that question, to look back and say, whoa, that is our Achilles. And I'm going to be mindful of what's been assigned by the enemy to try to afflict us. And we're going to be mindful of it because I want you to know today, you can be a more than a conqueror. You can begin a new bloodline. Come on, somebody. A new spiritual history. It's like I was doing a baby dedication for my friend. When we were small in the storefront, we would just do them one at a time, you know. And there weren't that many people, so there weren't that many babies. And so he lifted up his child and I asked the dad, Dad, would you want to pray? And he goes, I'd love to pray. And he started to pray over the child and he lifted him up and he said, I know drugs got my granddad and my dad and me, but I've conquered it today because of Christ. And you, son, as he was lifting him up, and you, son, will not walk down that path because you're establishing a new bloodline, a spiritual history that's going to be one of victory. Amen, somebody? Oh, I pray My prayer for you today is to walk in the fullness of freedom. So how do we get free? If I know I'm a threat and I know it afflicts me, what do I do? You need to know, number three, you need to know the power of repentance. The power of repentance. This is important now, okay? This is important. Because Moses went to Pharaoh 9 times with 9 different plagues, tried 9 different things, and it didn't work. It didn't work. You know, the Nile, the frogs, the lice, the darkness, the afflictions. He would say, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh would say, "No." And you're not gonna go. This is important, you catch this. You're not gonna go until Pharaoh lets go. Now catch this. There's a spiritual truth to this. He will not go until he says, "You can go." So what brought Pharaoh, who's a picture of darkness, to let go? What brought him to that place? It was when the children of Israel took the blood of the lamb. Come on, we took communion this weekend, didn't we, everybody? Took the blood of the lamb and applied it on the lintel and on the doorpost. On the lintel and on the doorpost. Applied it in the form of a cross. And they came up under that house, under the blood, under the cross. And that night, the Bible said, Exodus 12:7, look at it as it comes up on the screen. "And you shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and the lintel." Verse 12 says this, "And I will pass through and execute," say the next word loud and strong, everybody. Against, not you. Not you. Against that thing that's holding you. Come on. You see, you don't hear much about repentance. You don't hear much about going to the cross. You don't hear much about the blood of Jesus in some of these places. But I want you to realize, I'm so grateful for this church and our churches that declare there is power when it comes to repentance. When you come to the cross under the blood and you say, "I can't, but you can." There's something powerful that takes place. The blood of Jesus executes judgment against alcoholism, against drug abuse, against all these things. And something happens and the power of that thing is broken, and then you can let go and go in the walk in the fullness of your freedom. I just believe that. Say, "Pastor, prove that to me." It's what happened to you when you got saved. Come on, did hell let go? Yes or no? Yes or no? Of course it did. You went from darkness to light. Unsaved to saved. You can go from bondage to freedom in the power of repentance. And let me tell you about repentance. Now, I want you to realize something, because this is important. God's not out to judge you. God's out to judge that thing that has a hold of you that is so strong, or a stronghold. I remember one of the most prominent attorneys that did so many real estate closings in our city came to me. He's losing his family, and he was just crying like a baby in my office. And I said to him, alcoholism had him just by the throat. And he was losing everything. And I said to him, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. And have the power of God break the power of this alcoholism off of you. And I said, I want you to get on your knees and I want you to ask God. You can't, but the blood of Jesus can. How many know it's the greatest force in the world today? You got to believe that. You've got to believe that. You have got to believe that. I said, get on your knees. And he got on his knees. And I said, now ask God to forgive you. And he began to ask God to forgive him. And I said, now make sure, don't tell God, "Oh, I've lost this, I've lost that, I've lost this, I've lost that." I said, because that's remorse. That's not repentance. "Oh, I lost my wife, I lost my business, I lost my money, I lost my kid." You're still at the center Okay, repentance says, no, I'm not at the center. Repentance, godly sorrow leads to salvation. Worldly sorrow leads to death. God, he said, I ask you to forgive me. I've broken your heart, God. I've broken my family's heart. I've not been a good steward of the things you've given me. And I said, when you truly repent if you mean it, God will know it. And watch what happens. Man, he got up. And I'm telling you, he walked in the fullness of freedom, his family restored, his mind was whole, his kids were around him. He began to walk in freedom. Why? There is power in repentance. But now let me tell you the next thing you got to do. Come on. Know the power of a firewall. Know the value of a firewall, because when the children of Israel began to walk in their freedom, the Bible tells us in the next verse that'll come up. If you bring up the next verse, please. The Egyptians pursued hard after them. I've learned this. The devil doesn't give up easy. Come on. Right? And so if you don't build a firewall, you can find yourself getting hacked again spiritually. Come on. I got an IT guy at our church. Frustrates the fire out of me. I was like, can I at least read an email from my wife once in a while? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he stops everything. And I said to myself, oh, come on, man. I'm more in my clutter than I am in my inbox. Because he's stopping everything. But then here's what he says to me. He goes, I know it's a little inconvenient, Pastor, but aren't you grateful that, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry? How do I answer that? But there's power to a firewall. Yes or no? There's power to a firewall. And the Bible tells us, check this out. The Egyptians were following the children of Israel. They're trying to walk in their freedom. And this is what happens to a lot of people. They don't know how to build a firewall, so they end up going back. The Egyptians pursued hard after them. So look at Exodus 14, 19 as it comes up on the screen. So the angel of the Lord, which was in front of them, went behind them and stood between them. That's a firewall, everybody, and the Egyptians. If you don't build a firewall, the relationships of the past and the emotions of the past will draw you back to the past. And if you're not careful, and this is what breaks my heart. People say, well, you know, Christ worked for you, but he didn't work for me. Have you ever heard anybody say that? And then it break your heart as if Jesus is prejudiced. Jesus is not prejudiced. We got to do our part and build a firewall. You got to build a firewall. You got to build a firewall relationally, come on, and emotionally. Because there's friends that'll try to bring you back in that key thought. There are friends that'll try to bring you back. And at the same time, there are emotions that'll try to draw you back. It was the children of Israel that would sit around. Remember, they were in the wilderness and they talked about going back. Anybody remember that? These knuckleheads, listen to me. These knuckleheads said, y'all remember the good old days when we were sitting around the fire eating chicken gumbo and all that stuff. And Moses is like, you were slaves, you idiots. But they were like, man, we were having such a good time and it was so good. And you know our friends back there. That's exactly how the enemy draws you back, because he can't conquer you, so he can't get you back, so he's going to lure you back. And if you don't build a firewall and be able to recognize, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not hanging out with them. No, when that emotion hits your mind and you start having these feelings, no, I'm not a victim. I'm a threat. And no, I'm not going to give in to them. I'm building a firewall through the power of the Holy Spirit. Could you realize how dangerous we would all be? Not violent, dangerous to the kingdom of darkness if we were all walking in the fullness of our freedom? You know what kind of revival would take place in this world today? Do you know how our schools would look like? That instead of us worrying about trying to get free or get whole, we would walk in the fullness of who we are. You know, there was a friend of mine that we went to Cheesecake Factory in Birmingham. Jackie and I went with Bill and Malone. Real deal friends of ours. And I want you to see how he built a firewall. It was incredible. He was an alcoholic most of his life. But he got free. And walked in his freedom. And we were having dessert at Cheesecake Factory. And We ordered one dessert, 4 spoons. How many of you know that's never enough? You know what I'm saying? One dessert, 4 spoons. Everyone acts like they don't want it, but everybody wants it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I just want a bite. No, you don't. My wife is guilty of that. I mean, I'll take a bite. Take a bite, you're gonna eat half. I know you are. Can we just get our own? But nonetheless, I'm venting now, okay? Nonetheless, he took a bite of that dessert and he grabbed his napkin. He goes, "Is everything okay?" He's like, "Excuse me, I gotta get up and go to the bathroom." I said, "Malone, is everything all right? Something happened?" He goes, "He tasted the rum flavor in the dessert and it triggers something in him and he knows his vulnerable, susceptible place, and he cut it off because he wasn't gonna violate that firewall." And then I look over and there's Jackie, you know, licking the bowl, you know. Man's dealing with his affliction and she's licking a bowl. Nonetheless, know the value of a firewall. Amen, everybody? Please, know the value. And last but not least, and I'll close with this, know the power of the Holy Spirit. You need him. You need him. Jesus said it this way, "It's better that I go so he can come." So much controversy over the Holy Spirit because the enemy wants us to shun the very power of God in our lives. The Bible tells us in Exodus 14:21, check this out, "And the Lord caused the sea to draw back, and an east wind blew all night on dry ground." I want you to see this. I want you to see you having the revelation, the aha moment. I'm not a victim. I'm more than a conqueror. I can find myself knowing I'm a threat. I know what can get me. I know what can get me. And I know what I've given myself to. So I'm going to come to the cross and repent. I'm going to walk under the power of the blood of Jesus. But I'm not going to be stupid. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to build a firewall. I'm going to build a firewall from the people and the emotions that try to lure me back and get me back. Because I know the only way I can be slaved again is to go back. And as they began to move forward, the Bible says they came to the Red Sea and the Red Sea began to part. But the east wind blew all night long. Because friend, it's only when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, look at me please. Oh, it's only when you have the power of the Holy Spirit can you gain traction in your walk with Christ. It's only with the power of the Holy Spirit will you be able to not bog down and find yourself being just kind of just not moving forward in the direction of your destiny where you're called to be. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit said he'll lead you into all truth. He'll be by your side. He'll help you build a firewall. He'll tell you what you're susceptible to. He'll constantly bring you by. He'll harden the ground under your feet and you'll walk in the fullness of your freedom. Never, never, if I say never, never going back to a yoke of bondage again. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, and I'm staying free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody? Give me the privilege of praying for you right here, right now. Come on, every head bowed, real quick, eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you need to get free. If you're here today and you do know Christ, you need to get free and stay free in the fullness. Lord, today, you who read our hearts with one glance of your eye, and you who speak to hearts all at one time. It's what makes you God. Holy Spirit, right now, speak to every heart in the room. Every heart that's watching online, every heart that's watching at all of our campuses. Speak to those hearts, the ones that need a relationship with Jesus. May they say, I need you, Jesus. In its purity and simplicity, you'll answer it. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to every heart today. The ones that need to know these truths. You said you'd lead us into all truth and that we would know the truth, and the truth would not only set us free, but keep us free. May we build your kingdom, reach your people, build lives, because free people bring freedom to other people. Jesus, bless this house and this church. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, come on, give God a great big.
Wow, what an incredible message. And I really hope that you're walking away encouraged and full of hope that God is with you and God loves you. And I do want to take a second to talk to those of you who may be making a decision right now to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe to recommit your life to Christ. If that is you, we are so excited for you. And as a church, we would love nothing more than to just walk alongside you, to show you what it means to follow Jesus. Because we believe that you're leaving the past in the past, and this is not the finish line, it's actually the starting line of an amazing life of following Jesus for the rest of your life. So would you give us the privilege of just following up with you, giving you some resources and helping you as you're beginning to walk out this new life of following Jesus. And again, congratulations, we're so excited for you. And if you do want to be a part of just partnering with us to continue to reach people and build lives, you can always go online to churchoftheking.com/give to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and people to hear about Jesus. And lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Facebook, to really stay up to date with all that God has for us, all the content that we're putting out. Pastor Steve has some powerful messages every single week for us, and we're really growing and learning what it means to live out the life that God has for us. I encourage you to follow along, to be a part of all that God is doing here at Church of the King. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of our service today. We love you guys. We hope you have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you very soon.